Welcome to the Spicy Food Podcast. Today's episode, we have a featured guest, Alex Wasabi. We talk about his rigged experience in his first boxing match, the moment he found out that he'd finally take care of his family, and his depression. He has amassed over 11 million subscribers. He is an undefeated professional boxer, former daily vlogger, and he has won a $10,000 Mario Kart tournament. Welcome, Alex Wasabi.
Hey, thank you for having me. That tournament was intense. Swoozy was there. Matt Pat was there. Odd Ones Out was there.
You beat all those guys.
Lily Singh was there. Lord DIY was there. Swoozy. And then a bunch of other people.
Do you play Mario Kart often? Like, yeah. Are you like top 500 in the world, you think?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I'm that good.
you're probably top 50 YouTubers, probably.
Yeah. Probably. All right, cool. I beat Dashy one time.
Oh, Dashy Games.
And he's known for Mario Kart.
Dang.
But it was probably luck.
Well, today we're going to dive really deeply because we talk about ourselves a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The last episode, we talked about me and the guava juice side. I want to know the Alex Wasabi side. Specifically, after our breakup, there was a time period of 3 years that we didn't talk. Mm-hmm. And I want to know, like, what happened during that time, like your struggles,
yeah.
What worked, what didn't, how did you get to where you are, how you decided to go into boxing,
mm-hmm.
and ultimately how you got to, you know, us being back together right now.
Yeah.
So let's go back in the very beginning.
All right.
So you grew up in Montana.
No, I was born in Montana.
Oh, you were born in Montana.
And then I moved when I was one, I think.
To Kentucky. Do you remember much about Kentucky?
Oh, yeah. I remember a lot about Kentucky.
No.
Because my dad was... He met my mom in the Philippines. Then they had my older brother. And then he got stationed in Montana. And then I was born. And then my sister was born. And then he got out of the military and went back home to Kentucky.
Oh.
And I lived there till I was 10.
Your dad's from Kentucky originally? Or, like, that's where he grew up?
Yeah, that's where he grew up.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then you moved to North Carolina.
Yep, when I was 10 years old.
For what reason?
We were up until 10 years old, we were with my dad's side of the family. And then my mom wanted to move to closer to her family.
Mm-hmm.
So we moved there.
Oh.
And I lived there from 10 till 24.
Oh.
And then we moved to California together.
Oh, wow.
But when I did move, I was in fifth grade, and I had a lot of friends, and I had friends from kindergarten to fifth grade.
Mm.
So when I came here, I knew nobody. I was the new kid. I was like, people didn't know how to feel about me.
Yeah.
I was the class clown.
Uh-huh.
But then once I got used to it and made friends, then I had to switch schools to middle school.
Yeah.
And start it all over again, make new friends. I didn't know anybody. So... it was a transitional period, but ADHD.
Yeah, for sure. And I read online that you met someone very important in middle school. That kind of changed your whole preface in life. Can you tell me more about what happened?
I was in eighth grade in middle school, and my Japanese cousin, who's half Filipino, half Japanese, he was staying with us for the summer before I went to eighth grade. Then when I went to eighth grade, he showed me a magic trick that I was excited to go to school and show people because it was like apparently like a magic trick in Japan that people do.
Yeah.
So he showed me and I was like, oh, and nobody knew this trick. I've never heard of this trick. So then I was excited to show people at school and I was showing people all throughout. And then school got out that day and I was waiting outside for my parents and I saw this... this little brown jungle boy.
Okay.
Named Roy.
Okay.
I was like, oh, I'm going to show him this trick. I didn't know you, or I think I didn't recognize you, but I think we met previously, like in passing, but I didn't recognize you. I just wanted to show you this trick.
Yeah.
And I went up and I was like, hey, you want to see a magic trick? And you're like, okay. Like you thought, like, it was a trick. Like you thought I was just going to troll you,
like,
or something.
Prank me or yeah.
But it was really a magic trick.
Uh-huh.
And when you realized that it was a really cool magic trick, you're like, whoa. And I was like, okay, bye. And then I went to go show somebody else a magic trick.
And after that moment, it changed the course of history.
Yeah. That's when we started. Our story started.
What if you never left Kentucky and never left the Philippines? You know? It's kind of weird how like life works, because like certain things have to move at the same time for it to work. Here,
thousands of things had to happen. We had to be born at the right times.
I know.
And our parents had to make the decision to move to North Carolina at the right times.
And that's the craziest thing. The people you bring with you in your life, they're all meant to be in your life.
Yeah.
So it just boggles my mind. What did you want to be when you grew up? Like in middle school, high school, like before this YouTube thing was even like a possibility, were you like striving to be like a certain occupation?
The very first thing I can remember wanting to be was a dentist.
Oh.
Because I just went to the dentist all the time. Mm-hmm. I had bad teeth.
Mm-hmm.
I had good teeth, but I just ate so much candy. Like, insane amounts of candy.
Yeah.
Like a whole meal was candy.
Apparently very attracted to dentists. So I think that's what drew my attraction to you, because I didn't know you were going to be a dentist.
People were like, why did you get veneers? All my teeth are fake.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've had a cavity in every single tooth.
Oh, wow.
And there would be, and my teeth, there have been times where my tooth just fell out. Or like it didn't fall out, but it just like broke and fell. And I was like, oh. And then there's multiple times that happened.
No way.
Yeah.
I know you I know you love candy, but I didn't know you like.
Yeah.
You ate that much candy.
It was
like
bad. And people were like, "Oh, your teeth look so nice," but they didn't know like it's because they got fixed. I lived at the dentist growing up.
Oh.
And like I would get shots in the mouth. It didn't even bother me anymore. I was so used to it. They would be like all these painful things, root canals, didn't matter. I was like, "Yeah, let's do it."
So the front of your teeth looked fine, but the back was probably black.
No, they weren't black.
Oh.
They were just like filled with filling. So like it looked like there was nothing wrong with them, but all of them were messed up. And I had dreams of my teeth falling out all the time.
Uh-huh.
I would always have dreams. And I was like, and one day Fousey was like, "Yo, I'm going to Colombia to get new teeth."
Yeah.
And he already had veneers. So he was just getting new veneers and they were super cheap.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, I'll go too. And I went. And I got the worst veneers in the world.
I remember they were like the biggest teeth.
They were like cheek glaze in my mouth.
They were huge.
And I was like, what? Don't go to Columbia for procedures that seem too good to be true. Because this one was a regular procedure for veneers is like $20,000 to $30,000.
How much did you say yours was?
I went over there. It was $2,000.
Oh.
And then I came back. My gums were bleeding. My gums were messed up. My teeth were, they started turning yellow in the center.
Oh my God.
Same with Yusuf, Fousey. And then we both, within a week of getting back, we got real veneers.
Have you seen those TikTok videos recently of like people who just give people veneers?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's not good.
It's insane. I wish we were closer back then. I think that happened during our like 3 year thing. But whenever I talked to Monette, and she's a dentist,
mm-hmm.
whenever she saw your big teeth, and she asked, like, "Oh my God, who did that?" I was like, "I don't know. He went somewhere."
Yeah.
Was it in the U.S.? I was like, "No." I'm like, "Oh, Alex."
Yeah.
That's the one thing. If you need to get it done, like, in the United States.
Yeah.
Because she tells me all the time, like, She works with a lot of like international like students, because she's a faculty and teacher, and a lot of the time like international students, they know just as much as like students here.
We're just the top in teeth.
Oh yeah, yeah. So U.S. is top in teeth.
Yeah, I know. Well, I made the mistake, and then I got it fixed as soon as I could. So these are my teeth now, no cavities.
Man, well, it looked good. Smile. Give me a smile.
Hey! And I'm supposed to wear these veneers. Not veneers. What's it called?
Mouth guard?
Mouth guard. I'm supposed to wear a mouth guard so that my teeth don't shift.
Yeah.
But they're just so perfect that I want them to shift. So I haven't worn the mouth guard that I'm supposed to wear every night. I haven't worn it in years.
Oh, wow.
Because I want them to get a little
What
character.
If they break, dude? Like, the mouth guard is supposed to, like, keep them structured.
I don't know. I just want them to get a little less perfect. Yeah.
So, okay, let's go fast forward a little bit.
Yep.
All right. So, Roy, I started to make videos because I found a camera my parents never used.
Yeah.
And there was nothing to do in North Carolina
because
boredom is a good factor to figuring out what your hobbies are. So, when I started making these videos, do you remember the moment when I asked you, like, "Hey, let's film a video," or... do you remember the moment like, "Oh, Nice. He's filming videos.
Do you remember?
I don't remember at all.
I think it was like a group thing. Like, we had the same friend group.
Yeah.
And we were just all hanging out. And then you guys were all filming a video. And then I just was just like, I just joined just because that's what my friends are doing.
Yeah.
And I wasn't like, oh, this is cool. I mean, I was in my head. I was like, oh, this is really cool. But I never had the experience until we filmed something.
Yeah.
And then it just turned out I really liked it. And I was like, whoa, because I've always been the class clown. This is just like being the class clown for a bigger audience, for like strangers.
Yeah.
So it was, it just clicked.
And then, it helped too, because you were like five houses down.
Yeah.
Like, hey, want to film something?
Yeah.
Moving on forward, I remember, I think I was a freshman in college.
Yeah.
And we had a period where we didn't film anything for 10 months.
Yeah.
And I remember texting you. It's always like, hey, you down?
Yeah.
So I remember texting you like, hey, it's, you want to give this YouTube thing a shot again? Because you sent me the article. I think your dad sent you the article, and you sent it to me about like the top 10 most richest YouTubers.
Yeah.
Like, it was like Ryan Higa.
Yeah.
He made like 400K.
Yeah.
His net worth was like $400K at the time.
And we're getting similar views. And we're like, wait, what? We're not, after the Call Me Maybe, we're getting similar views. And I was like, why are we not?
Yeah.
I remember I was working a 12-hour shift at the hospital. I was a health unit coordinator in the in the Heart and Vascular Center at UNC in Chapel Hill. And I remember sitting there, and we haven't filmed in a long time. And I think we like pretty much just stopped Wasabi. And I was like exhausted. It was like 4 a.m. And I was like, I can't do this for the rest of my life. We got to make something out of it. We just dropped something. We stopped doing something that we were too young to see the potential for it. And I remember being like, yo, I think I'm going to start making YouTube videos again. And you were like, I want to too. And I was like, oh, let's do it. And then you were like, all right. And then we just started back up.
Oh, nice.
But we took like a year break where we didn't really talk about YouTube videos. We just stopped.
Yeah.
We kind of moved on with our lives. And then I think we both had the feeling of we shouldn't just like give up on this.
Because it wasn't an option. You couldn't make money at the time.
Yeah.
Like AdSense wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
At all. So yeah, I graduated high school. You already like, you know, graduated finding work, and I was in college, and I was thinking the same thing. I was like in community college doing like prereqs to be a nurse. I remember taking anatomy. I was like, I don't know anything about this. I don't like this at all. What is chemistry, you know?
You're like, let's go back to what we're good at.
Yeah.
But we were, that was up until that point. We're making videos for like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And then we stopped for just because it was just a hobby. We weren't making money. It was cool to see like, to interact with people and be like, hi, you like our little project that we made, our little video.
Yeah. Cause we were young, we had time, and we could film the stuff like that. And then when the real world happened, like when post high school happens, like, oh, we have to actually figure it out.
And then we had to make the conscious decision to make time for it.
Yeah.
And we didn't have to do that before, cause we had time.
Yeah.
We're like, all right, let's make time for it.
I remember one time in college, like I was just so burnt out about like school. I was like, I'm just going to just completely shift my major to focus on YouTube. So I'm going to just change it to film studies. And I remember I told my mom, oh man, I remember that day.
What did she say? She's mad about it?
She was disappointed. But as a parent, you know, you can only guide your child with the knowledge that you know. So she didn't know anything about the YouTube world. It's so risky, so fresh. It makes sense. I remember telling my mom, it's like, hey mom, is it okay if I change my major again? He's like, oh, to what? Film studies? She's like, if you change your major to film studies, you know, that's not like a guaranteed job or whatever. I was like, yeah, but I think YouTube, I see something on YouTube. She's like, well, if you do change your major, I won't help you pay for college anymore. I was like, oh. And I remember driving that night, I hung up. I remember driving all the way to where we used to work at Chai's.
Yeah.
It was like a 30-minute drive. I was like, I just got to drive this out, go to Chai's. And I remember talking to Jimmy, our old boss.
Yeah.
I was like, Jimmy, I don't know what to do. I want to change my major because I feel like YouTube is a thing.
We weren't making money yet.
No.
Okay.
Zero money. This is before Call Me Maybe. This was like probably 2-3 months in. We like made like how to be a best friend video and like the Wong Fu parody that we did. I remember talking to Jimmy, like, Jimmy, I'm sad. I don't know what to do. I like cried all the way here. I didn't know who else to talk to. It's like, what do you think I should do? He's like, man. He was like, fuck it, man. Just do what you love. I said, fuck it. I became a chef. I don't see any reason why you can't be a YouTuber. I was like, you're right. You're right, Jimmy. I called my mom back. It's like, okay, I'm going to change my major. I'm going to figure out a way to pay for college. And she's like, okay. Bahalaka.
How did you end up paying for college? Because you weren't working. Were you?
Call Me Maybe happened.
Oh, right after?
Like 2 months after.
Before you had to pay for the next semester?
Yes.
Oh, yes. That's crazy.
Everything just worked out. Call Me Maybe. We posted Call Me Maybe. Yeah. It just started blowing up. It's like, oh my God, dude, we're actually making money.
Yeah.
Like everything just shifted around. So timing just works if you put your mind to it.
What was your reaction when you saw we first started making money?
I don't remember. I think I was just flabbergasted because I've never seen anything over $900 ever in my bank account.
I remember when I found out, because I sent you the article and then you signed up for it and then I just forgot about it. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, I guess, I don't know. I just didn't think about it. And then we went to Florida to see some friends and I remember I was stressing so hard on the way back because I spent too much money.
Yeah.
And I was working at the hospital and the most money I've ever seen in my bank account up until that point, it was $2,000. Uh-huh. And that was a lot for me.
Yeah.
So then I spent too much money and I knew I had to get the oil changed in my dad's car because I was using his car. I knew I had to get something else. And I had bills.
Yeah.
And I was stressing hard. And on the way back, we stopped at a restaurant and I was just had my head in my hands. I was like, what did I do? I spent too much money on temporary happiness. I have stuff I have to pay for. And I was stressing and you were like, hey, don't worry. Let me check the AdSense. And we were sitting there and then you're like, your eyes got big. And I was like, what? And you were like, dude,
I remember this.
We have money. And I was like, what? And I was thinking a couple $100 and you turned the phone around and I think it said I don't remember. Do you remember?
I don't remember.
I think it was $9,000. Or I think it was $14,000. And I was like, wait, what? That, what? That's ours? We have $14,000? And I was, what? And at the time, that was that's what I make in 10 months.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I got up. I started pacing back and forth in the hospital, in the restaurant.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to do. And then I was like, I think I got to call my dad. And I called my dad and I was like, Dad. And I didn't know how to say it. And I was like, Dad, the YouTube videos. And then he's like, what? Just spit it out. And I was like, the YouTube videos we've been doing for 6 years, we're getting paid now. And then he was like, what do you mean? From what? And I was like, the AdSense article you sent me. I sent it to Roy. He signed up. And then Call Me Maybe took off. And we got our first paycheck.
Yeah.
And then he was like, how much is it? And then I remember Dad, it's $14,000. And he is like, $1,400 or $14,000? And I was like, $14,000, Dad.
No.
And then he was like, what? And I was like, I'm going to take care of you guys. This is it. I got you. Oh. And then he was like, what do you mean? I was like, you guys don't have to worry about anything. You guys can retire right now. I'm going to take care of you guys. And my dad was like, wait, what? And then I was like, yeah, I'm on the way home. I'm going to come straight home. I'll see you guys and we'll talk about it. And by the time we got home, I talked to them about it. And then a couple days later, we looked at the AdSense again. And it was at $21,000. And I was like, no way, Dad. We made another $7,000 in less than a week. Uh-huh. And I just remember being so happy. And I always had a feeling growing up, just seeing my parents working all the time.
Yeah.
And they were working night shifts. And then they would come home and sleep for an hour and then go back to work at their other job.
Yeah.
And even as a five-year-old, I was like, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to fix this for them one day. And there was times where my dad would go to work, come home, wake us up, we'd eat breakfast, and then he would be taking us to school And he was so tired that at red lights, he would be like, hey, wake me up when it turns green.
Oh, my God.
And I'll say, oh, okay. And I didn't really understand that when I was younger. But I got a little older, and I was like, wow, they were so tired. They were taking 30-second to, like, a minute naps at red lights.
Oh, wow.
Just to make sure that we were good. And I was like, all right, it's game time. Let's go. Here we go. I got you. Don't worry. And so that moment really changed my life, changed our lives.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Imagine if you stayed in Kentucky and I stayed in the Philippines.
Yeah.
Dang, brother.
Yeah.
Let's go. See, I didn't mean to make you cry again.
I never know when I'm going to cry. Anything family related. I'm like, wait till my dad's on the next podcast.
Oh, yes.
It's going to be tears. I know it. I don't even know what we're going to talk about.
We have Papa Wasabi coming in the next one.
We get to see his side of that call.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, what did you think when I called you with
that?
He
might make me cry, honestly. I've never cried on podcast yet, so.
Yeah, I feel like that was when he was like, whoa, like, I did it. I raised my kids right.
Mm-hmm.
They grew up. And now I can finally relax.
I really want to know his side.
Yeah.
He probably, like, did he cry on the phone when you told him? Or
I don't know.
The first time?
I want to know his side of, he's like, what? Oh, okay. Okay, come home. I'll talk. I will see you then. And then he hangs up. What went through his head?
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, that's more than, like, I've ever made in a month.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what? That's crazy. I don't know.
Oh, wow. When did you think, like, caring for your family, when did that really kick in? Was at that moment, like, that mentality? Because you're really, like, super family oriented. Like, whenever I talk about family, you just get
that's where I was like, wow, that feeling that I've always had of just the urge to take care of my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Because they took care of all four of us, the kids. And I was just like, I've always wanted to. I was like, man, I just wish I could do something because I just want to do something.
Did you notice that like an early age? Like you're like,
yeah, I think I just always had that underlying urge to take care of them because they're taking care of me.
Yeah.
And family just take care of family. It's just instinctual. But I was like, I want to do something big. Like, I don't want to just be like, oh, I'll bring the groceries in or, oh, I'll take the trash out. I'll mow the lawn. I want to do something big. And that was my chance to do it.
Because out of everybody I know, I think you're the number one, like taking family taker care.
You like, are mine too. And my, like, you're the number one in my life too.
Like, I've never seen someone like do so much just for their family when they have the opportunity to. Like, oh, I'll just get this for you, get that for you, take care of you, give my time on here. I give you my time here, my time. Like, your time and the time you give out of your life for your family is super immeasurable and I guess inspiring.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. That's just very important. I don't know what it was. I don't know.
Yeah.
Why, like, my family's just like that.
Oh, wow.
I feel like it was Disney, man. I grew up watching Disney, and I love watching TV and movies, and there's always family oriented. They're always looking out for each other, and that just got ingrained into me.
Yeah.
And then watching Goku, like, freak out when somebody, like, punched Gohan or his friends.
Yeah.
And then that was ingrained in me, too. I was like, oh, don't talk about my...
TV. So,
yeah, the most times I ever got in fights growing up or... got the angriest is when I'm standing up for somebody else.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's good. It's ingrained in you. Maybe it's genetic. Your family, your dad's like that too, you think?
Yeah, my dad's like that too, but he's just not confrontational.
Oh, I see. We'll ask him in the next one.
I'm super duper
curious.
Yeah.
Let's move a little bit forward. We posted Call Me Maybe, blew up, and we capitalized on the parodies, and you gained even more success, and we moved to Los Angeles to further pursue our YouTube dream. So for me, you know my side of the story of how I felt moving, how I felt about LA, I hated it.
Mm-hmm.
What was your side when you moved there? Like, give me like the first month. How did you feel and how did you kind of cope with living in a new city, living with a new environment, trying to find your place and new friends?
We first moved and then I think within a couple of weeks of us moving, we invited a bunch of hometown friends.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, that. It was just us. So we were like, let's invite a bunch of hometown friends.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
So that was there. And then it was like, we're both trying to bring North Carolina with us. But then eventually we lived in California.
Yeah.
We didn't have friends in California.
Mm-hmm.
So we had AJ Raphael. We had us, the duo.
Mm-hmm.
I started noticing you were stressing more.
Mm.
And I didn't know why. because we were kids. I was just like, oh, wow. Oh, look, mountains. Oh, look, California. Wow. Oh, hey, yeah, oh.
It was fresh.
And so I was just more like a baby coming out of the womb. Like, wow. Yeah.
Were you worried at all? Like, were you like, I'm going to give myself like 1 year here. If I don't like it, I'll go back.
Or no.
You were just like, I'm going to stay here and try to figure it out.
No.
Oh.
Up until that point in my life, things just kind of worked out.
Mm.
So I didn't have any expectations. I didn't think about failing. I didn't think about succeeding. I just kind of was existing and
yeah,
see what happens next.
Oh.
And then you were more in the mindset like, my whole world's changing. My environment's changing. My family's so far away. My friends are so far away.
Mm-hmm.
And I was more like, oh, wow. Mm. Oh, look at that. Look at that. Just ADHD and like normal. So I didn't have these stresses that you had, and I wasn't familiar with that type of thinking. So
were you homesick at all?
No.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was just kind of
went there with a mindset like, I figure it out. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, okay, let's just keep doing what we're doing. It should work out.
Yeah. No, that's good.
So I wasn't familiar with like stressful thinking. And so when you started treating me a little differently and you're just more in your head because we didn't have communication skills.
Yeah.
In my head, I was like, oh, maybe he's just having a day. And like, maybe he's just like, is stressed or about something or I don't know.
Yeah.
But then it never went away. It was just always there. And there was always this like stress looming over us that I was just like, oh, hey, stress. And you're just like, oh, stress.
Yeah.
And then I didn't understand. I didn't think, oh, he's homesick. Oh, he misses his friends. Oh, it's a new environment. Oh, and I just didn't think that. I was just like, it's like, me
we're
Roy.
Here. We got this.
It's me and Roy. Let's just keep doing what we're doing. And so eventually that started getting to you. Still flew over my head. I didn't realize. Mm. And so then eventually you just, unless we were filming, you just seemed like you wanted to be in your room playing games or talking to your future wife, your girlfriend at the time.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, what am I going to do? So then like a year came up where we lived at the place for the first time and you were like, hey, I'm thinking about moving to another place.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, okay. And then you were like, I don't know. I just think we need space. And like, we'll still keep filming. We just need space. And I was like, okay, where are you moving? I'll move next to you. And you were like, oh, okay. And I was like, yeah, I'll just move like a mile away. And then I'll just be there if we need to film.
Fine.
And you're like, okay. So then you moved in, out and you found a place. And then once you found a place, I found a place near you. And I called my brother, who is kind of dabbling in YouTube.
Yeah.
But he's still in college. I was like, hey, you want to come out here and be a YouTuber?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah. So he ended up moving out and then we lived together and then things didn't get better.
Yeah.
And then I was like, dang.
Yeah. Well, we were so young, man.
Yeah. We were
just
young.
Thinking about it.
Yeah.
Like I still think about it now whenever we talk about this and it gets brought up. I'm like, dude, if we communicated better, if we just said something or if I knew how to express like, yo, I'm homesick. I'm do this, do that. It's not your fault either, because it's this equally my fault.
We're both just confused, and I think that it's hard to see things from other people's perspectives.
Yep.
Until you're like in your
30s.
Yeah. Until you're like in your like late 20s.
Yeah.
Or mid 20s, it's hard to like actually truly see things from another perspective.
Yes.
Like you could see things from another perspective at a younger age, but your perspective is still top priority.
Mm-hmm.
So like, if you're like, oh, he's mad at me. Oh, well, I didn't do anything wrong.
Yep.
So it's like, you're putting yourself first.
Yep.
Until you get older and you realize, oh, that's what he was feeling. Oh, that's why. This is why. This is what led to this.
Yep.
This is mistakes. Things I could have done. This is things he could have done. So yeah.
Yeah. For me, it's like, when we moved to LA, I was like, oh my God, this we're by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I have to like figure out how to grow fast because like this is like a big deal.
Yeah.
And I was just so flustered and homesick at the same time. And I'm just like, oh my God, I'm trying to grow up. Alex is not growing up. I think that's like what like got me to be mad at you indirectly, but I didn't know how to communicate. So I wasn't growing up because I didn't know how to communicate. It's hard, dude.
Yeah.
But we figured it out.
But then eventually we ended up breaking up. We went to PF Chang's. We broke up.
If you guys want to go to the place that we broke up, we had a meeting at PF Chang's in Sherman Oaks, next to Cheesecake. Go over there. That's where we broke up.
Yeah. If you're facing the host table
yes,
and you look at your 2 o'clock. There's a pillar there, and there's a table right behind the pillar, and that is where we broke up.
Please, if someone go there, take a picture. Tag us on Instagram. We will absolutely appreciate that.
And we will comment, wrong table. So that happened, and then
we broke up.
We broke up, and then you started guava juice.
Yep.
And I think we were just...
What were your thoughts? Like,
So when you left, I didn't understand why, and I felt abandoned.
Mm.
And then, what did you feel again?
I felt like I was gonna die.
Yeah, but what did you feel after? Why? What did you feel towards me?
I don't know, just resentment.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, he didn't understand me.
Mm-hmm.
I do this by myself.
Mm-hmm.
That feeling.
Mm-hmm. And so we both had fuel to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we did. We went.
Do you remember... the last video we filmed was Goodbye Roy Wasabi, right?
Yes.
I remember that moment because we used my drone, mm-hmm. and then our cameraman at the time crashed it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys left. Since then, I just had a broken drone.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, they didn't even care about my drone.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah.
The cameraman? Oh, Kyle?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He just broke it and said, oh.
He's like, oh, sorry, man. And then you guys left.
Oh.
I remember I was so pissed. I was like, they don't care about my drone. I'm going to make this guava juice thing work. That was my first fire.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I didn't even know it was broken. I didn't know anything about the equipment. You were the equipment guy, the editing guy.
Yeah.
So I didn't know anything about it. I thought it was, I don't remember it at all, but you should have talked to freaking Kyle about it. He's like, yo, like you broke it.
Yeah, I did not. I was just like, it was a weird day.
Yeah.
It was like the last video, yeah. Like mixed emotions.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to be there, but I didn't.
It was a good video. I'm glad we like, even though we had a bunch of differences and we were upset with each other,
yeah.
We came together to make that video. It was a good video.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Use all my last energy I had left. I was like, let's make this video happen.
Yeah, so then we split up, and then I ended up moving to 1600 Vine next to Logan Paul and Fousey. Fousey actually got the apartment next to me, then it was me, then Logan Paul, then Rudy Mansuko.
Yep.
And I think that was it for my floor, but every floor had a bunch of like future ballers. Like Logan blew up. And I remember Logan was like, hey man, I think we were having a conversation and he was doing a brand deal and he told me how much he was making for the brand deal. And I was like, oh, cool. And he's like, how much do you make making YouTube videos? And I was like, oh, I post every day, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to tell him because he told me how much he was making for brand deal. And it was like a quarter of what I make in a month. And then he finally got it out of me. I told him, he's like, and he's like, Juanpa, come here. Juanpa was living on our floor too.
Oh, okay.
And Juanpa came over and he's like, dude, you know how much he makes a month on YouTube? And then Logan came over. He's like, hey, man, I'm thinking about getting into daily vlogging.
Uh-huh.
You think I should do it? I was like, yeah, man, you're a hard worker. I've seen you blew up on Vine. You're doing great on Instagram. You should definitely do this. And he did. And he became the number one vlogger in the world for like a little while.
So that was your doing.
I don't know. I was just surprised. I was like, dang. Yeah, he went crazy. So then back to us.
Wait, so your game plan, did you have a game plan when I, so after, let's go back a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
After the meeting
at
P.F. Chang's,
mm-hmm.
what happened after that moment when I said, I'm planning on quitting Wasabi? Like, did you go write some notes down? Like, okay, this is going to be my game plan once everything happens? Or
I think I attempted to keep Wasabi going, but I was having more fun on the side channel and I was enjoying doing more vlogging,
mm-hmm.
and being the class clown and sharing my life and just not scripted. And I was like, I think I'm gonna focus more on the vlogging.
Yeah.
And so then I was like, but I can't let Wasabi die. So I was like, oh, I'll just start vlogging on the main channel.
Okay.
And that was a great move because I was getting at one point 2 million views per video per day.
That's crazy.
So by the time I posted the next video the next day, the previous one got 2 million.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And then me and Fousey kind of teamed up. We're just friends who both vlog. So like we started working together, and then Lauren started blowing up and just our trio started doing really well.
That's crazy.
And then, But I got burnt out quick.
When did that burnt out happen?
I think it was 3 years into daily vlogging, where I missed maybe one vlog every 2 weeks.
3 years after? You know what happened after 3 years of
what?
You vlogging?
What happened?
We met up again.
Oh, yes.
That's timing is so weird, dude. Like, the moment, like, things change and, like, we lose, like, motivation and interest, we come back to each other's life somehow.
And then we met at the Met Gala or the
some gala thing.
Some gala thing. And we just happened to be at the same table. And I knew that you were going to be at my table because I think my manager sent me, like, who's sitting at my table.
Oh.
And I was like, whoa, there's hundreds of people there and the odds that we sat next to each other.
I did not know you were going to be at my table, but I knew you were going to be there.
And I remember, I think I got there before you and I saw that we were at the same table, but our name tags weren't next to each other, so I switched it.
I did. Sneaky guy.
And then I was like,
you simp.
We gonna sit together.
Okay.
Because I was excited, but my last impression of you was you were like like me and you were frustrated with me.
Yeah.
And then all the subtweets and stuff, and I was like, man, I wonder if it's still like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to talk to you. I wanted to hang out with you. I wanted to take pictures with you. I wanted to catch up. So I was like, I'm gonna switch these name tags. And I did. Mm-hmm. We sat next to each other. And who did we bring? I feel like I had a friend on the right.
Ooh, I don't remember who I brought.
And I think you came solo. I don't remember who it was, but I did not talk to them at all. It might have been Aaron or something, but I did not talk to them at all. I was all on you. And then I remember being really nervous to ask you if we could take a picture.
Uh-huh.
I was like, can we take a picture? And you're like, yeah. And then I laid my head on your shoulder and I was like, I remember like closing my eyes and I was like, I wonder what facial expression he's making right now.
I'm like,
if you're just like,
I'm like,
yeah.
What is God doing, bro?
And then what did you think after that dinner? We went home.
Well, before the dinner, when I knew you were going to be there, I was like, oh, I wonder how, I was like visualizing like how certain, if you felt a certain way, how I would respond.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately you responded the way I wanted you to respond. Like, hey man.
Yeah.
What's up, man? Because I like kind of missed you at the time. Like 3 years passed and I was just thinking about like how you grew, how I grew, and then how our quarrel that brought us separated was like not even like, it was stupid.
Yeah.
So.
And we're both doing great. We both like had hundreds of millions, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of views by then on
and
our own.
I saw you and it was just refreshing.
Yeah.
It was, that's the perfect word. It's just refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just vibed with it, chill with it. I was like,
And then I think we just like, I invited you to basketball or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we met up that way. And then we were like, hey, there's actually a video if you want to do it. And then we did that. And then we every once in a while would make a video up until we got back together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So time heals all communications, everybody. Yeah. That's all I got to say.
You know what really hurt my YouTube career and my life?
What?
Was COVID.
COVID?
Yeah.
How so?
Once COVID happened, I was like, all right, how am I going to film videos? I was a daily vlogger.
Yeah.
So what am I going to do?
Oh.
And I tried to do videos, but I just wasn't in it. Just wasn't like fully in it. And you could tell, and I could tell that people could tell the audience, cause I just wasn't in it. And I was like, oh, so then, I couldn't daily vlog. I couldn't post videos and I kind of just got like a little depressed and not like heavy depressed, but it was enough where friends would come to me and be like, hey, I think you're depressed.
Cause you just were so burnt out.
So burnt out.
Just didn't know what to do.
At that point I put friends and family on my back. So I felt forced to I have to keep providing. I can't stop. I have to do this for the rest of my life because I can't let people down.
Yeah.
And I just got kind of depressed and I ended up just posting a video, just like super raw and emotional and like pretty sure I was gonna stop being a YouTuber.
Yeah.
And I titled it like, thanks for the 15 years, goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that video blew up. Mm. Everybody like watched that video. I was like, whoa, I didn't think it was that I didn't think people would care because there are just so many YouTubers now. I was like, oh, they won't care. But yeah, it was huge. It was a big thing. And like news articles, like there was YouTubers copying it with the same title, like thanks for 5 years, thanks for this, because it did so well. They're like, oh, I'm gonna fake it and fake a goodbye. And I was like, at the end, if you watch the end of that video, I was like, wow, this might be the last time I say, if you're not smiling, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
And it was really hard for me to get it out, but I got it out. And then I think COVID started dying down, and then I started boxing for fun, because I was like, oh, I got to protect my friends and family. Nobody else in my group, my circle, has combat skills. Nobody else fights. Nobody else does this, whatever. So I was like, I guess I'll just do it just to be good enough. I want to get to the point where a normal like citizen of the world can't beat me if they don't have any training.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right.
That was your original intent?
Yeah, to protect my family and friends.
Yeah.
Against just situations.
Yeah.
Like anything random happen.
Yeah.
And then Deji.
How did that happen? He just reached out, or?
He DM'd me.
Oh.
I think he was looking for an easy opponent that had no fight experience. And he didn't know that I've been training.
Yeah.
To beat people that don't have experience too.
Uh-huh.
So he just made a mistake in his choice. And because before me, he fought Vinny Hacker, who was way younger than him, had zero boxing experience.
Mm.
Deji was boxing for like a year or two at this time.
Yep.
So he chose that guy. And then I think Deji thought, oh, this guy will be easy. I fought Jake Paul. He's not Jake Paul. It'll be easy. And so he really didn't like, he let himself go for that camp thinking, ah, this will be easy. I don't have to train.
Yeah.
And then he lost because he gassed out. He was winning up until that. And I remember sitting there watching and I was telling all my friends, oh, Deji's going to wipe this guy. He's going to destroy this guy. It'll be easy.
Yeah.
And then in the first round, it looked like what I said was going to happen. And
then
he got gassed out, and like Vinny, like he didn't do great. Mm. He just looked a lot better because Deji gave up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So then a little time passed and he DM'd me. He's like, yo, you want to fight? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, okay, cool. This is the weight. This is when. Get ready. I was like, okay. And then that was like 6 months before we fought. I had to fight. I was like, okay. So I just figured it out. Just went to a gym down the road. And I was like, teach me. And they're like, okay.
Uh-huh.
And I've always been athletic growing up. And I knew that he was comedy gamer. He
yes.
just video gamed his whole life. So I felt like, oh, he has two fights. I have zero fights, but it'll probably even out.
Mm-hmm.
And it did. I got to the fight. Whole country was against me.
Oh,
I
know.
I was getting egged. Yeah, you came.
I know.
We were better friends at the time. I was like, you should come. And you came with Marlon. Fousey mm-hmm. came. My brother came. Jake came.
Yep. I remember everywhere I went, fans, mm-hmm. quotes, fans would, I remember when I checked in the hotel,
mm-hmm.
someone came up to me to take a picture. Hey, guava juice, take a picture. I'm like, all right, now say, Alex is a pussy. I'm like, dude, I just got here. Yeah. This is what you're dealing with.
I didn't know it was gonna be like that either.
Yeah.
The US audience fans and the UK fans are completely different.
Yeah.
Like the US fans, they'll boo you, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
The UK fans, they'll find you in the street. They'll egg you. They'll
dude.
Like pretty much just not terrorize, but like just, well, I don't know the word.
They don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Of what they do.
If they know where your hotel room is, they'll come and they'll bang on the door at 3 a.m. so that you can't sleep.
That's hostile.
You know, it got so crazy. We got egged, right?
Yes.
And then they tried to pick up the metal barriers and break the hotel window because we wouldn't let them in, or like the guards wouldn't let them in. That's how crazy they were. And then sometimes I would be like, I just want to get some fresh air. Nobody's around. I just walk through the lobby and I would go outside. And when I'm walking through the lobby, I can see it's all glass. I see people on bikes with walkie-talkies. And they're like, he's here.
Dang.
And then just people just swarm the front. Like they were just sitting around waiting. And they were in communication
That's
with each
insane,
other.
That's insane, bro.
And then they would come to the front and just be like, and I couldn't get out. And I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm ordering.
Dude, I've never felt so much in danger other than that time
in
my life. Like, oh my God, dude, if I get stabbed, this will be the weekend I get stabbed. Yeah. Like I felt that was how I felt not safe.
Yeah. That organization, Showstar, they were doing everything they could to make sure Deji won.
Wow.
Yeah, they were doing everything. I got there, I had the tiny hotel room, and I was like, I'm the main event. Why do I have a tiny hotel room?
Yep.
I go downstairs and I ask if I can upgrade my room. They say the last upgraded room was taken by Deji.
Wow.
And so he had a huge room. He had enough room to hit pads in the room. He had just like, it was nice. And I was stuck in this tiny room.
I remember.
Yeah.
It was so dark.
So little. And then the only place we could go hit pads was in one of the little conference rooms. I was like, hey, Showstar, can you provide us with space to hit pads? Like, okay. They gave us this little tiny room. Yep. And like, you were there? You remember that?
I was there.
Yeah.
And like, it was, they were giving you trouble getting it too.
Yeah.
They're and like, okay, I guess. Yeah.
It was rough. And then we went to freaking, every time I went anywhere, they were like, we'll get you there. And then I went to the weigh-ins, which is right across the street. It's like 200 feet away from the hotel door.
Yep.
And we went to the weigh-ins, me and Deji, the main event, weighed in, the whole crowd's booing me, the whole crowd's throwing stuff at me. We weigh in, whatever, and then they start transporting all the fighters from the thing to the hotel. So they have bodyguards, and they hired the bodyguards for this event.
Sure.
And the bodyguard would escort one fighter, escort another fighter, escort like two fighters at once.
Yeah.
And then I was the last one, and they said, hey, wait, we'll take you at the end because you're getting the most hate. I was like, okay, cool. It comes up to my time. And they're like, okay, let's go. One of the workers at Showstar. And I was like, wait, where's the bodyguards? And then they're like, oh, they quit. And I was like, what? Wait, what? I was like, they quit? What do you mean they quit? What? They were just doing their job and they just decided to quit when it's my turn to go across. And they're like, yeah.
That's sketchy, bro.
So,
is that when we got egged?
Yes.
Because there were no bodyguards protecting us.
And they quit. They quit. I'll explain that later. So then I freaking am walking across. We're getting water balls thrown at us, rocks thrown at us, eggs thrown at us. Me and my friends are getting egged. And like, then everybody goes into protective mode. My coach puts my head down and just starts pushing me forward. And I was like, oh. And then I was like, wait, my friends. And he's like, no, you got to get you out of here. This is why it's happening. So, okay. So then we got in the hotel. And then I was like, what? And then people were like breaking in, like coming through. People were holding them back, like, no. And they're like yelling at me. They're like, I'm going to kill you. And I was like, what is going on? And I get to my hotel room, and I actually became friends with one of the bodyguards.
Yeah.
And I DM him. I was like, bro, what the f***? And then he texted me and said, yo, we randomly got fired. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, we're in the middle of transporting people, and the Showstar fired us. And I was like, what? And he was like, I don't know why. They didn't tell us. We're assuming it's a racial thing, but we just got fired. I'm so sorry. I heard what happened to you. I saw all the things. We should have been there. And I was like, what? And then I didn't see them again for the rest of the event.
That's,
I think it's because they were helping me and they wouldn't comply to what Showstar wanted.
Whoa.
Crazy, right? This is the first time I'm saying this, but I'm just telling the truth. So.
Yeah. I remember I have the video of us walking.
Yeah.
And you and your coach just covering your head to protect you.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it was because they got fired.
Yeah.
Like mid-job.
Yes.
When it was your turn.
Yes.
That's so sketchy.
What? Just knew that their cash cow was Deji. If they could get Deji to win, it's their first event as a new, like, whatever. So they're like, we need Deji to win because he's from there. All the fans are there for him. If he wins, it's going to be everywhere. It's going to blow Showstar up.
Yep.
So then,
I did not know that happened behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I just thought it was just like, they hated US. I didn't know it was like a security guard issue.
Yep.
It was like rigged. They're trying to rig, like you said.
Yes.
They're trying to rig it.
Yes.
Wow.
And you know who was the only nice person to me? The only group of people that was nice to me throughout the whole thing when we were off camera.
What?
Deji and Coach Daly.
No way.
They were so nice. Like, there was a couple times where like we were at the same hotel, so we would end up eating at the same place and we'd be like, oh, really? You guys are here? And they're like, yeah. Or we'd be at a restaurant down the street.
Yeah.
And they just happened to be there.
Yeah.
Super nice off camera. I think they felt bad because they knew what I was going through.
Yeah.
They knew the whole country was against
Damn.
Me. They knew it was my first fight. They knew that everybody was trying to make me crumble before I even get in the ring.
Yeah.
So I just had bad sleep that whole week. I was getting egged that whole week. I was getting sabotaged the whole week. Then fight night comes.
Yep.
And I get to my locker room.
What? Oh my God. There's something in the locker room?
Yeah. I get to my locker room. My locker room has, my TV's not working. I was like, so I couldn't see what was happening. Everybody else's TV was working. I couldn't see what was happening outside. I was just kind of waiting for hours. And then my heater wasn't working. They put me in the locker room where with the only one where the heater wasn't working.
So it was
cold. I think there might have been a couple of other rooms, but the main event was put into a room that had no heater. And every hour or so, they would send somebody to come look at it. They would come and tap it and be like, I'll come back. I'll work on that. They would, and then another person would come back. It's not working. I don't know. So I'm in there shaking. I'm cold.
I remember it was cold freezing. And raining the whole weekend.
Freezing in my room.
In your room, I can't imagine.
And I was like, and I'm just waiting for my turn to fight. And then I had like the fights happening on my little phone, and I'm just shaking. My coach and my team are putting towels on me. They're sitting next to me, pretty much cuddling with me, trying to get me warm. And I'm just shaking, waiting to fight.
Yeah.
And then they're finally like, okay, your fight's coming up. Time to warm up. I was like, oh, okay. So then finally I'm moving around. I'm like, okay. I feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And then time for the ring walk.
Yep.
I walk out there. I'm pretty sure it was like 15,000 people.
Yep.
Every single body in that arena or stadium, whatever, was against me.
Dude, I remember you asked me to walk with you. I'm like, oh God. This was like after we got egged. I was like, okay, I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. I'm scared, but I'm act tough.
Yeah. It was crazy, right?
It was everybody.
Yeah.
I have never heard the word boo.
Yeah.
As loud as I did in that arena.
And I turned those boos into oohs and ahs. So when I was in the ring, it was crazy because I've been through so much in that week leading up to this. I'm like, finally, I'm in the ring. Finally, let's just get this done. And then we start fighting. And nobody would cheer for me.
Yeah.
All I ever heard was boo. And the only time I heard something else related to me that wasn't boo was ooh or oh. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was targeting. I was like, every time I hear that, that's what's going to fuel me.
Yeah.
So I was like, boom, land something. I would land something. And they're like, oh. And I was like, yeah, that's mine.
Yep.
And then he would swing and he would miss and they'd be like, oh. And I was like, that's mine. And then there was one point where I've never been in a boxing fight.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that I liked to talk in there. Yep. And there was a point where we're in the middle and I'm kind of like feeling it. I'm like, oh, okay. Oh, this is what it's like. Okay. I don't see the people around me. It doesn't matter. It's me and this guy. And they were like, Deji, Deji, Deji. And we're looking at each other and I was like, they're cheering your name, not my name. What are you going to do about it? And he was like, what? And I was like, they're not cheering Alex. Come on, show them something. And then he like shot a jab and I blocked it. And then I was like, do it again. And then he was like, what? I was like, do it again. And he did a jab. I was like, boom.
you baited him.
Yeah, I baited him. And when he threw it out of anger, I was like, argh! And you could see, he's like, poof. If I look back at the footage, it'd be cool.
Yeah.
But, and then a fan ran into the ring.
I remember that.
That was crazy. I thought I was going to get stabbed.
Yeah. I was confused.
Yeah. You can see that I'm completely focused on Deji. And when that fan runs in behind me, I see Deji just kind of put his hands down and look. And I was like, what? And then I saw like a figment in my peripherals. And I was like, oh, I'm about to get stabbed. So you see me jump and I face the guy immediately.
Yeah.
Just be like, oh, who is this?
Yep.
And then he's talking. I can't hear what he's saying. And then a coach, I think it was Leon or somebody from Deji's team, picked this guy up and threw him out of the ring.
Yep.
And then my friend grabbed him and threw him to the ground and like punched him. And then it was crazy. And I was like, what? And then the first thing that popped in my head was, oh, is Deji okay? And I look at Deji and I'm like, are you okay? Because so many things are happening. I don't know if he like was going after Deji, if he was going after me. And Deji's like, I'm good. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I kind of relaxed and I was like, okay, do we still fight? And then I was like, what do we do? And then they like gave us like 5 minute rest because had to calm the crowd down. They had to calm down. They're like, if anybody does that again, we're going to have to end the fight. And then it was pretty much like starting the fight over again.
That must
and
be
I
nice.
I got a feeling for what he wanted to do, what like his speed, his power in the first round. I was like, oh, I'm about to mess this guy up.
Mm.
But I just couldn't catch him. He was running.
Hell,
he was running.
I remember.
We went on a super far boxing tangent.
No, it's fine. This is your first boxing experience. It's special.
Crazy.
It's hostile.
Yeah. And then, so I'll just skim through the boxing stuff.
Yeah.
So then I won. Oh, then KSI. Then I made a video for KSI saying, because he made a video how disappointed he was in his brother, how his brother, yeah, like, blah, 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 just talking down to his brother pretty much. So yeah. I made a video defending Deji.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, yo, what, you're not being a big brother, like, this is, I like, blah, 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 like, you should be encouraging him, you should be supporting him, you should be there for when he's down, not kicking him when he's down, stuff like that. And I posted it, and KSI didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
He super didn't like that. He's like, it's my brother, I can do what I want, stuff like that. And then I got shocked by something.
What?
I knew KSI, I expected KSI to respond, that's cool.
Yeah.
Deji DM'd me, and in the message, he pretty much, just to sum it up, was thanking me. He was like, nobody's ever stood up for me against KSI like this before. Thank you so much. And stuff like that.
Aww.
He also sent me a voice message after our boxing match, and it was the nicest thing ever. I was like, wow. Like, that's what made me just freaking, I love Deji.
Yeah, dude.
Like, he's just a great guy. He's so just like kind, and
yeah,
he's just a really good guy. And I didn't know that until after we fought.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, that was all an act.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just doing, it was like WWE. He's just like building the story. Yeah. I didn't know. It was my first boxing match. I didn't know he was doing that. I thought he really hated me. But KSI actually did hate me.
Yeah. I know that for sure.
So then he was like, fight me. I was like, if you come to my weight class, I'll fight you. Before I fought Deji, I was 160.
Yep.
And then he wanted me to fight at 170. I was like, okay. So I went up 10 pounds. One of the hardest things I've ever had to do in my life.
Okay.
And then KSI was like, oh yeah? You fought at 170? Fight me at 180. And I was like, dang it,
man. You just kept going up?
I was like, God, I don't know if I can. 70, like, to weigh in at 170, I had to chug a gallon of water on the way to the scale to make weight for that. So he wanted me to go up another 10 pounds. And I was like, ah, but it's such a great opportunity. I was going to get paid very well. I was like, all right, let's go.
Is it harder gaining weight or losing weight?
I think it's harder gaining weight just because losing weight, you can lose water weight. You can just run more. You can take saunas.
Yep.
Gaining weight, you have to actually build. You have to eat. You have to lift. You have to build something that doesn't exist yet.
And he just kept going up and up.
Yeah. So then I couldn't, I got up to like 176.
Yeah.
And this was like 3 or 4 weeks before the fight. And I was like, oh, thank God. It was so hard. I couldn't run as much as I wanted to because I had to keep weight on.
Yeah.
And I think the rule was I had to be within 5 pounds. So 175 was my limit. In order to get used to fighting someone heavier than me,
mm-hmm.
With small gloves, I had to fight someone even heavier than him with big gloves. So I was naturally 160. I'm at 175 now, fighting 200-pound guys.
Jeez, that's way too much.
Yeah, so I had to, even 190-pound guys, it was a huge difference. But he was going to rehydrate to like 190 and have 10-ounce gloves.
Yep.
So I had to get used to it. And so it was just like, go, 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 just sparring all the time, getting hit. And one of my punches was like three of their punches. I would get hit, and I would literally see what cartoons see. Like
with
just
stars?
Lights, stars, like Tweety Birds. I was like, whoo. And then I had to go into protection mode for like 10 seconds to regain myself. And after that, it got to the point where
brutal,
I was
man.
Just doing that a lot. And then one day I woke up and I was just throwing up. And I was like, no, I'm like a month out from my fight. I have COVID. Dang it. And I was dizzy. My head was hurting. Lights were hurting. Sounds were hurting. I was like, ah.
Yep.
And so I was like, okay, I'll just wait it out. COVID only lasts a couple days, or like it's only bad for a couple days, and then it's contagious for like this long. So I couldn't go to the gym. So then another day came, it didn't get better. Another day came, it didn't get better. I took some COVID tests, it came back negative. I was like, what? So I went to the doctor, and the doctor was like, what's happening? How long has it been happening? What is this? What is that? And I was like, oh, I've been doing this. This is the symptoms. I've been throwing up randomly. And he was like, I'm pretty sure you have a concussion.
Mm.
And I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you have a concussion. And I was like, but my brain doesn't hurt. And he's like, your brain doesn't have any pain receptors. It wouldn't hurt. If you have a concussion, it's damage to your brain, but you wouldn't know.
Like, no, yeah.
You just got to look at the symptoms.
Yep.
And I was like, oh. And he's like, but I'm a schedule an MRI or a CAT scan or whatever the machine that they put you in. He's like, just to see, check for internal bleeding. And I was like, okay. And then I called my I called the promoter and I was like, hey, so I have a concussion, but the doctor said, he said it might be, but we're going to do some other tests. And then the guy was like, that means you can't fight. And I was like, what? No, what? I feel fine. I'm just throwing up a little bit, but it's like getting better every day.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, even when you feel better, you can't fight after having a concussion. You can't fight this close to it. And I was like, I didn't know that. I was like, what? No, wait, what if, what? And he's like, ah.
Because you could get brain damage.
Yeah,
if you
he's
hit
like,
the
you
wrong
can't.
Way, right?
He's like, the first one is bad. First concussion is bad, but then it's like, I forgot what it's called. It's like second fatal brain something. Like, if you get a concussion on top of a concussion, that's deadly.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. So the doctor said, you can't even like train for at least a week.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. Or he said 10 to 11 days. I was like, okay. So 10 to 11 days pass, and then I go to the gym, and then I had to cancel the fight, and then everybody saw a picture of me at the gym, and everybody started freaking out about it, and I was like, guys, the symptoms started almost 2 weeks ago, but you guys didn't hear about it until like 5 days after that.
Yeah.
So they thought, oh, it's too soon, whatever, but whatever. So that fight didn't happen. Then IDubs hit me up, charity fight. I was like, nice, that's in my wheelhouse. I love doing things for charity. Let's go. Fought him, beat him, pretty bad. His face is messed up.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And then
tag team.
Yeah. And then the tag team fight happened. So I'm getting ready to fight Pineda and B Dave with my friend Nick Elamayo.
Yep.
And I start doing a lot of research, but the strategy was I fight Pineda.
Nick fights B Dave.
I'm like, okay, cool. So I start researching Pineda, everything Pineda. My world revolved around Pineda for that fight. And I was like, I was looking at his old fights. I was looking at his YouTuber fights. I was looking at his recent fights, everything. And
because he was a pro. He was a pro, right?
He was a pro. Yeah, so exactly. I've never fought a pro before. I was like, oh my God, I'm about to fight a pro. This is crazy. Like, Deji had two fights. IDubs had one fight. And now I'm about to fight a guy that had 12 fights.
Oh, Jesus.
And I was like, oh, geez. Uh-huh. So, actually, Pineda replaced me. When I got the concussion, he replaced me and fought KSI.
Ah.
So I'm looking out at this footage and something stuck out.
What?
I was like, I was studying, looking at his tendencies, looking at his movements, looking at what he favored to do. And then we got to fight week and I saw him in person and I was like, what? I thought he was going to be skinnier and he wasn't as skinny as I thought he was going to be. I was just confused and I was like, wait, what? So then weigh-ins come in and I'm there witnessing the official weigh-in, not the onstage weigh-in, the weigh-in that morning.
Yeah.
So then he gets on the scale and he weighs in like 165. And I was like, what? I was like, how is he not skinnier? Because he fought KSI at 180.
Yeah.
And so then after the weigh-ins, I went to my room. I did some more studying. And I was like, what is going on? And I looked at pictures of him weighing in here against me, like getting ready. And then I looked at pictures of him during the KSI camp.
Yep.
And he looked the exact same, but he's 15 pounds different. And I was like, how is he 15 pounds lighter, but he's the exact same weight?
No.
I'm not trying to like make any conspiracy theories.
For sure.
I'm just saying, go look it up for yourself. Go look at footage of him fighting, of Pineda fighting me and fighting KSI. And
what?
And do they look 15 pounds different?
I gotta look it up. So
he looks like maybe 2 or 3 pounds lighter.
So you're saying 165 both fights? Supposedly.
I'm
gonna look it up.
I'm not jumping to conclusions.
Yeah, for sure.
You do your own research. Yeah,
I will.
I don't know, but
that's crazy.
That was always weird to me.
Yeah, I have something too.
Oh, what?
We're going back to London. You were in a role. I didn't want to mess you up.
Yeah.
But going back to how they tried rigging it for you.
Yeah.
They made it hard for you to just have a comfortable time, right?
Mm-hmm.
They also made it hard for your guests that you invited to have a comfortable time, because I remember when it was me and like all the guests that you invited to London, we had we were supposed to have a specific spot to sit to watch you fight.
Yep.
And it was taken. And we told the guy like, hey, they're on our seat. And they're like, okay, we got it. I'm sorry, we can't get you a seat. These guys are here. We can't move them, blah, blah, blah. And we were just pissed.
Ah.
They made it hard for your guests to do that. I'm pretty sure that's to f*** with you.
Yeah. And I remember that's what locked me. I was locked in after this because I care about my family and friends.
Yeah.
3 hours pass. I'm main event, so I'm waiting till the very end.
Yep.
And somebody comes, one of the workers comes, and they're like, hey, I think it was like a friend or somebody.
Yeah.
They said, hey man, your friends have been standing for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? They're supposed to have seats. I'm the main event. How do my like like five guests maybe not have seats.
Yep.
And when they told me that, I was like, they're just trying to mentally mess with me now. They know how much I care about my family.
Yep.
And from there, I was like, I'm going to take this guy's head off. I was like, I don't care what happens in there. I'm going at him nonstop. Go, go, go. Because of everything that happened to me. And up until then, I was like, okay, I'm just going to do my best. They told me my friends were being messed with. I was like, I was planning on doing the walkout, like just normal, like, hey, hey. Yep. I went out. I was like punching my fist together. I was pounding my chest, and I've never been like that.
Yeah.
That's not me. But I was mad. And I was like, this is why I started boxing, to protect my friends. And I'm about to get in there and punish somebody who is one of the causes of what's happening to me and my friends.
Dang.
Yeah.
So their plan backfired on them
because
it lit a fire on him.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so, last thing I'm going to say about boxing.
Yeah, let's
get off of boxing.
It's making me mad.
It's just exciting. I've never been able to tell my whole story. I've always like had podcasts after a fight and talk about that one fight, but my whole story.
Okay.
I want to say thank you to boxing, Misfits, and especially to Deji.
Mm.
I was in a dark place before boxing came into my life.
Yep.
I had no motivation for YouTube. I didn't know the meaning of life. My whole life was wanting to give back to my parents. And I got to that point where I could afford to buy them a house. I bought them a house. I didn't know what to do with myself after. I was like, And then YouTube, COVID, depression, all was hitting me. And I was like, I'm a very social person. I couldn't see anybody for years because of COVID. And Deji reached out and he was my savior. And boxing pretty much saved me from... Just I was on a dark path. So thank you, Deji. I love you. Let's run it back.
Hey. That's good. That's very sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you two are equally as nice people. Because I remember running up to him after the fight. They were at the lobby. Talked to him for a bit. He was so nice.
So nice. I know.
He was super nice,
I did
man.
Not expect it. Yeah, he's just a good guy. Just like inside and out. Yeah. I'd love to run it back. And you know why?
That'd be amazing. Why?
Because boxing to me is the closest I will ever get to being in an anime.
An anime?
Yeah. I love anime, and that's the closest I will ever get.
Oh, gosh. That's another tangent, bro. We got to have like an anime-specific podcast. We'll just get like an anime voice actor for an episode. Then we have a reason to talk anime.
This is my anime arc.
Okay.
I go to another country, foreign country, never been there before.
Yep, Thailand, yep.
The UK, London, everybody hates me. The whole world's against me. Mm-hmm. I'm by myself. I have to pull this off. I get in there, a whole stadium, every seat full. They hate me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I come out victorious. And then I fight again. The best way to end this anime arc is to go to the very beginning. And I fight the guy that started it with me.
Oh,
and
shoot.
And we settle the beef. To me, the first fight, I won, but it was a tie in my head.
Uh-huh.
I got him a couple times, but he was just evading the whole time.
Yeah.
He didn't land anything on me. It was a tie.
Yeah.
Let's settle this, boy. Let's settle it.
Whoa, Deji.
I just want
to be crazy. Deji Alex part two.
I just want to have his sweat on me again.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. Comedy shorts sweater.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about what you want to do personally, like in the next year. What are your goals?
I just want to provide for my future family.
Mm.
I've taken care of my family. I have enough money saved up. Thankfully, my dad was a very big, good influence on me when I first started making money.
Mm-hmm.
I put a lot of money away, started retirement at an early age, 401, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I have enough for me.
Yep.
But I don't have enough for the lives of my kids.
Mm.
I have enough for my kids for a good amount of their lives, but I don't have enough for their college.
Yep.
I don't have enough for, I don't know how many kids I'm going to have. All their colleges.
Yeah.
I don't have enough for, like, I got to feed them their whole lives until they're 18 at least.
Yep.
And I got to put them to school. There's a lot. And I that's my goal, is to just be financially stable, profitable pretty much.
Because
we've been we've been starting this new journey, and it's been tough, but we believe in it, and we're still going. It's how long we've been on Wasabi now? Like
6 months.
6 months. So it's still the beginning. Mm-hmm. We still have a long road ahead of us. Yeah, that's just the main goal. I just want to take care of people.
Yeah, very sweet. Yeah, that's. I feel like your life or people's lives is just to take care of other people, specifically ones close to them.
And ones I haven't even met yet.
Oh, true.
Mm-hmm.
You have a name for a daughter?
I like unisex names for girls.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. A August, maybe?
No.
Or Addison.
Oh.
That could be a boy or a girl. Or, I don't know, just A.
Yeah.
Maybe just different forms of Alex.
Dude, for me, I don't know. I just like bird names, like recently. It's probably going to change because it was Raven last week. Now it's Phoenix.
What about Stork?
Stork.
Stork. Stork. Did you clean your room?
No. It's like a crane.
Yeah. Or crane. Yeah.
I'll figure it out. But Phoenix is pretty cool.
Phoenix is really cool.
Phoenix.
For a girl?
How about Roman Phoenix?
Ooh, WWE wrestler.
Oh, is
in
it really?
The making. No, it sounds like
Roman Phoenix.
Or, yeah.
I don't know. It's probably going to change. It changes.
Yeah. It's either a WWE fighter or a Magic Mike dancer.
For me, it was REI last week, so last month. So it changes.
Why REI? Ray?
It's Ray.
Oh, it's three that's letters. Cool.
It's like me, ROI, but REI.
Oh, and ends. Oh, and yeah. That's cool. That's cool.
All right, here we go. So to end this off, we're going to play a word association.
Yeah.
I dig deep into your path, your past, and your history.
Oh, no.
So I'm gonna say some words, and you have to tell me what they mean.
Okay, I feel like this is a long podcast, so I'll try to do it quick. Go.
All right, ready? Traffic cone.
Ah, me and Roy were flirting with these two girls when we were very young, and they were hiding behind a corner, and I was like, Roy, they're behind that corner, I bet. And I ran up to them. One of the girls didn't realize I was as close as I was, and she turned the corner, threw a traffic cone to scare us, hit me right in the eye.
Your first concussion.
My first concussion. And I remember like being out of it, and the cone, the point of it, hit me right in the eye.
Yup.
Boom. And I got up, and there's girls around, so I was like, no, I'm good. It's all good. And then I remember you looking at me like,
oh my God. Yes.
And then I was like, what? And we didn't have mirrors. We didn't have phones back then, I couldn't look. And then I would be like, guys, it's really fine. And I would look at one of the girls, and she just started bawling.
Dang.
She's just crying. She felt so bad throwing the cone. And then I look at the other girl, and I was like, it's not a big deal. But every time one of you looked at my face, you'd start crying. And I was like, is my eye gone? What? I knew it was swollen shut.
Yeah.
But I didn't think it was that bad.
It was bad. It's fine. It's fine, guys. Don't worry about it.
We were like 13 or something.
Yeah.
And then I remember going back to see my dad, and my dad was like, whoa, what happened? And I was like, I'm fine. And he was like, did you pass out? And I was like, for like a couple seconds. He's like, did you go unconscious? And I was like, yes. He's like, then we have to go to the hospital. And I was like, why? And he was like, we have to get a CAT scan. You probably have a concussion. And I was like, just because I fell asleep for a little bit? He's like, you didn't fall asleep. You got knocked out. If you didn't get knocked out, we wouldn't have to go to the hospital, but you got to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
And they said it was my first concussion.
Yep. So if you ever want to beat Alex in a boxing fight, just throw a traffic cone on his face, dude. You'll get it.
That is my weakness.
All right. Next word. Palace Point.
Palace Point. Oh, you're talking about catfish.
The catfish Palace Point. Yep.
When we first started getting popular, people made a bunch of fake accounts, and one of them tricked me into believing she was real.
Yep.
And I was like,
they were talking for 2 months, everybody, online.
I was
excited. He could have been talking to an old guy.
And we still don't even know who it was.
don't know who it was.
She told me she lived in North Carolina, like 2 hours away. And in between us was this place called Palace Point. And I was like, oh, we should meet up at Palace Point. Me and my family go there sometimes. I was excited. We went out there with some friends and my family. And I was just like nervously waiting for this girl that I've been like bonding with for 2 months.
Yep.
And she kept saying, I'm almost there. Hey, I should be there. Oh, sorry, I'm stuck in traffic. And a couple hours go by, she never showed up.
That's messed up.
And I went home. And then the next day, she confessed and said, hey, I'm sorry. I'm not really that person. I just really like your videos. And we started talking, and I got excited, and I just kept it going, and it was all fake.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that person. And then I was like, what? And I just stopped talking to that person.
Yep.
I never knew who it was.
A 52-year-old man from Wisconsin.
Possible, possible. Possible. Possible.
That's...
Thanks for bringing that up.
I don't know. It's funny.
Okay.
Okay, you brought it up earlier, but missing tooth.
Yes, I was on a date in Hawaii, and I was paddleboarding, and I was with a group of paddleboarders. We never did it. Me and the date never did it. We were with another, a group of strangers. That, it was a beginner class, and we went. We were down, going down this river in Hawaii, and I was doing pretty good. I was like, wow, I'm pretty good at this. And I was like, I bet I could do a handstand on this paddleboard. Mm-hmm. And everybody was like, do it. So I did it. I had the paddle in my hand, and I made a fist with this hand, and I made a flat hand with this hand, and I did a handstand. And they were like, wow. And I was like, hey. And I popped up all confident, and I hit myself in the face with the paddle, and I just saw my tooth fly out and go into the water, into the river, ocean, whatever.
Yep.
And I grabbed my mouth like this, and nobody else saw the tooth. And they're like, what? And I was like, I knocked my tooth out. And everybody laughed. They're like, no, you didn't. And then I showed them, and it was the same face you made when I got the traffic cone. They were all like, oh. And I was like, what? And then the girl is dying laughing. She falls in the water laughing. God. Everybody else is like, oh. And then I was like, oh. And then they're like, I was like, you guys go ahead. I got to like process what just happened.
Yeah, yeah.
So I go ahead, and me and the girl are sitting there, and then she's just laughing.
Yeah.
And you're like,
it's fine, guys. It's fine. I'm okay, guys. What's wrong?
Yep. That happened.
All right. Last word to end this podcast. Well, you can go as far as you want with this word. Princess.
I went to a foreign country.
Yep.
I was talking to this girl. We hit it off. We're hanging out. And then this person pulls me to the side and is like, hey, first time in the Philippines? Yep. You know this is a third world country.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yep. They're like, be careful. I was like, what are you talking about? And they said, the girl you're talking to, be careful. And I was like, well, I'm not doing anything. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not doing anything wrong. Like, we're mutually hanging out and flirting. Not like, I don't know what you're talking about. And she's like, no. Be careful. I was like, what are you talking about? And they're like, look. To your back right. I look at my back right. I look to your back left. I look at my back left. There's two big dudes standing in the corner. The area I'm at, the party I'm at, is all A-list Filipino celebrities.
Yep.
And I was like, oh yeah, they're here for the, just like bodyguard the
party.
The group. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, they're not. They're here for her. And I was like, why? Why does nobody else have bodyguards and she has bodyguards?
Mm-hmm.
Because she's not a celebrity. I was like, who? What? Okay. And they're like, that's the princess. I was like a nickname? And they're like, no, she's the actual princess. I'm not gonna tell you which country she was princess of, but she was a princess, and that's the princess story.
Yep.
That's
and all you, I'm say you almost that. Got shot.
Almost got shot.
You almost got shot. But we'll save that just, to another.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah, we'll save that. Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming in, Alex Wasabi. This is nice to have you.
Thanks for having me, Roy Wasabi.
All right. If you enjoyed this podcast, we do every podcast every Monday, and we'll see you next Monday.
Stick around. Wait. Oh, Stick around for the next one.
Papa Wasabi coming
Papa Wasabi. I'm excited. Okay.
Bye.